I've also got to, I forgot to mention that please pray for Dylan and his mother. Both of them are sick this morning. So please keep them in your prayer. The mother's quite sick. It looks like Dylan's catching it. But now I guess we're good back there. Okay. So this morning the title of the message is Power in the Blood. And since this morning is a communion service, I would like to speak about the blood loss that Jesus suffered and the awesome, wonder-working power in his blood. You know, Jesus lost a major amount of blood during the scourging and crucifixion. And this morning I would like to discuss the significance of the blood of Jesus and what it means to us. You know, when Jesus was being beaten, knowing that scourging occurred, and carrying his cross and the crown of thorns on his head, Satan must have been rejoicing. Must have been, go ahead, beat him harder, make him bleed more, make him bleed profusely, make him bleed to death, not knowing that that blood would be the strongest power against Satan, the blood of Jesus. And we're going to discuss the blood of Jesus this morning. Jesus began losing blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke 22, 44 reads, "And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground." That's medically proven. It's called hematidrosis. Some people wonder, well, could you really sweat blood? Yes, you can. It is medically documented and called hematidrosis. Jesus bled profusely during the scourging. We remember that his arteries broke open from the beating with leather whips and pieces of lead and bone at the end of these whips. This caused a major blood loss. The skin on his back was torn in ribbons and was still bleeding during the crucifixion. His blood loss was tremendous. The crown of thorns was placed on his head that caused much bleeding. His hands and his feet were pierced with heavy wrought iron nails and bled for 6 hours. So Jesus was bleeding from all over his body, his head, his back, the crown of thorns, all that beating from the scourging, his hands, his feet. The blood was dripping down his back from the scourging. He was bleeding all over the place. The blood was stuck in his hair as it was coagulating. He was bleeding. Jesus was bleeding from head to foot. And you know, he didn't die quickly. Sometimes people get in an accident and fortunately, in the sense of dying and suffering, they die quickly. Jesus didn't. It was a 6 hour suffering and bleeding. That's just on the cross. We're not talking about the crown of thorns. We're not talking about the scourging. We're not talking about Gethsemane the night before. He suffers. Jesus was a living, bleeding sacrifice. He died a most awful death. Jesus lost a tremendous amount of blood during the scourging and crucifixion. It wasn't easy for Jesus to shed his blood. His blood didn't drip out of a catheter. Like if someone goes to take blood from you today, they do it very carefully. They make sure that the needle is in your vein and, you know, it's in there and not going through the vein, and you see the blood dripping out of the catheter. Not so with Jesus. He was beaten to near death. He did die, you know, from the beating and all that blood loss. It didn't drip out of the catheter. It was a brutal, his blood was the result of brutal, brutal bleeding and 6 hours on the cross. He must have felt very weak from the major blood loss, yet he never lost sight of his mission and his reason for coming to earth. You know, with all that suffering and bleeding, Satan was hoping that Jesus would lose his mind. But Jesus never did. He knew why he was on that cross till the very end. He knew what his mission was. And that's why he said, "It is finished." He knew his mission physically on earth was done at that point. He never lost sight of his mission like Satan wanted him to do. Jesus remained on the cross, and no one, no power could make him come down from the cross. Why? Because of an infinite love for us. He had an opportunity for 6 hours to come down from the cross, and he was even told to do so, and he wouldn't. Matthew 27:42, the people at the foot of the cross were shouting, "If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him." But Jesus remained on the cross for us. I mean, what a temptation. Let him come down from the cross and we'll believe on him. Jesus stood there for us. What happened to the importance of the blood sacrifices under the law of Moses? Through the Mosaic law, God commanded the shedding of an animal's blood for the atonement of sin. Atonement means covering. Jesus didn't cover our sins. When he bled for us, he washed them away. It wasn't a covering. He washed them into the sea of forgetfulness. But through the Mosaic law, God commanded the shedding of an animal's blood for the atonement of sin. We don't perform these sacrifices any longer. Were they not good? Hebrews 9:22 states, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." Leviticus 17:11 states, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes an atonement for the soul." A commentary in one of the Bibles says, "The principle of blood atonement is God's divinely ordained remedy for the problem of sin. The scriptures insist that atonement for sin is not possible apart from the shedding of blood." But remember, Jesus did more than atone. He washed away our sins. So what happened to these blood sacrifices? Let's open to your Bibles to Hebrews 10, and we're going to read verses 4-7. Hebrews 10, and we're going to read verses 4-7. Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 4. "Because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings, you were not pleased.'" Excuse me. "Then I said, 'Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God.' God accepted the sacrifice of bulls and goats, knowing that Jesus was coming. But the blood of animals was not sufficient to wash the soul. There was essentially only one way for sins to be forgiven and for man to be redeemed, and that was through the sacrifice and death of Jesus on the cross. Jesus had to become human and become the sacrifice. He was God's perfect lamb, without sin, without blemish, who became a sacrifice of sins for the entire world, past, present, and future. In the Old Testament, sins were forgiven as if on a credit card, but Jesus came and paid the bill in full. Only his blood can wash away sins." Jeremiah 31:34 beautifully states, "For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more." I mean, what a gracious God we have. Did you ever hear of anything else like this? No. Do we realize what the blood of Jesus means to us? The sins of our entire life are forgiven. And to him, since Jesus came into my heart, the second verse says, and my sins, which were many, are all washed away. I've showed the picture in the past. It's like seeing a receipt. And you see, paid in full, paid in full, paid in full, paid in full, because Jesus did it. Thank you, Jesus. Where would we be without him? I think we know the answer to that. It's in the four-letter word called hell. What does the blood of Jesus mean to us? In an article, the late David Wilkerson states that the blood that flowed at Calvary was not wasted, not that precious blood. It didn't fall to the ground and disappear. This precious blood was collected into a heavenly fountain. The blood of Jesus was too precious to remain in the ground. The author of another article said that compared to the precious blood of Jesus, the most valuable things of earth, such as silver and gold, are reduced to meaningless, perishable things. The wealth of this entire world cannot compare to the value of the precious blood of Jesus. I'm going to repeat that. The wealth of the entire world cannot compare to the value of the precious blood of Jesus. What does the blood of Jesus mean to us? I'm going to read to you Exodus chapter 12, verses 21 to 23. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, go and take for yourselves lambs according to your families, and slay the Passover lamb. You shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood which is in the basin, and apply some of the blood that is in the basin to the lintel and the two doorposts, and none of you shall go outside of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to come into your house to smite you. Moses instructed the children of Israel to put the blood of the lamb on the lintel and the two doorposts. At midnight, the firstborn of all Egyptians, including the cattle, were struck dead. When the destroyer saw the blood of the lamb on the lintel and doorpost, he did not go into the house, and the firstborn was spared. The blood spared them. The blood of a lamb spared the firstborn. Salvation for us came through the blood of a lamb. Our salvation was bought through the blood of a lamb, the Lamb Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 states, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Verse 7, he is brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Verse 8 of the same chapter, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. Verse 11, he shall bear their iniquities. Wow. There's another view of the power in the blood of Jesus. He is the only person standing between us and an eternity of torment in hell, eternity of torment in hell, and the lake of fire. Can we say thank you, Jesus, this morning? Thank you, Jesus. The blood of Jesus gives us access to the throne of God. We remember an event in the life of Queen Esther. Queen Esther and all the Jews at Susa had to fast and hope that the king would raise the golden scepter before she could go in and speak and make her plea to him regarding the fate of the Jews. Although she was queen, she could have been put to death because she was not summoned by the king. When we go to God in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, he raises his golden scepter for us, the King of Kings, not King Ahasuerus in the time of Esther, the King of Kings, God, raises the golden scepter for us when we go to him in the name of Jesus. We do not have to fear, we do not have to fast or fear for our lives or wonder if the Lord will hear our petition. When we go in the name of Jesus, God raises the golden scepter and says, "What do you want, my child?" That's because of Jesus. From the song that came out maybe about 20, 25 years ago, there's a song called Rose Colored Glasses, I believe it's by Wayne Watson. And he beautifully stated, his meaning Jesus, his gaze, well God, his gaze always passes through rose colored glasses every time he looks at my heart. God views us through the blood of Jesus. Therefore, we have access to the throne of God. Do we realize the tremendous value and significance of the blood of Jesus in our lives? You could just turn, if your Bibles are still open, turn back a page or so to Hebrews chapter 9, and we're going to read verses 11 to 14. Hebrews chapter 9 and verses 11 to 14. We'll give you a moment to get it. Hebrews chapter 9 and beginning at verse 11. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place, the Holy of Holies, once for all, by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean, sanctify them, so that they are outwardly clean. How much more, then, will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? So what's it saying over here? Jesus became our high priest, offered his own blood for our sins. By his own blood, he entered the Holy of Holies and gained access to this most holy place. Gained access for us to this most holy place. When you come to God in prayer, we say, "Heavenly Father, I come to you," or "thank you that I could come to you in the name of Jesus." At that point, you are in the Holy of Holies, in communion with God. We can bring our petitions to God before the mercy seat, and God will hear us because of Jesus and his sacrifice. We can come to the mercy seat in this Holy of Holies only because of the blood that Jesus shed for us. What happened when Jesus expired on the cross? Matthew chapter 27, verse 51 reads, "And behold, the veil of the temple was torn from top to bottom." Top to bottom means that God did the tearing, because if man did it, it would have been bottom to top. a man was not going to be able to tear a veil that was approximately 4 inches thick. God did it. You know why God did it? Because when Jesus expired on the cross and shed his blood for us, God must have had this awesome smile on his face and said, "Welcome into my presence." Leviticus chapter 16, verse 2. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Speak unto Aaron your brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place," meaning the Holy of Holies, "within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. But through the sacrifice of Jesus, we have access to this most holy place where we have communion with God. We have access to this most holy place, and we do not have to fear dying, because you know, God told Moses, tell your brother Aaron, he can't always come here, because if he does come and he's not supposed to, which is only once on the Day of Atonement, if he came at any other time, he died. High priests only allowed in the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement. We're in there every time we pray, through the blood of Jesus. And we don't have to worry about dying because of the blood of Jesus. We can bring all our cares and problems to him, whatever is bothering us. Can't say, well, that's too small. God's not going to be concerned. Is he really listening? He sure is. Remember the colors of the veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. Colors of the veil were crimson, representing blood, purple, which signifies death, and blue, which represents royalty. Okay? So that means only through the blood and death of a king, the King of Kings, could we pass the veil and be in the presence of God. We sing the song, "I found a way through the blood, past the veil, to the Holy of Holies with God." The blood of Jesus protects us from all the destructive powers of Satan. In his book, The Power of the Blood of Jesus, Andrew Murray states that the blood destroyed the power of death, the devil, and hell. We have victory through the blood of Jesus. I'm going to read to you Revelation chapter 12, verses 10 and 11. Revelation chapter 12, just two verses, verses 10 and 11. "Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, the devil, has been thrown down. He who accuses them before our God day and night, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. Michael and his angels overcame Satan by the blood of Jesus." Victory in the blood of Jesus. Demons can't handle the mentioning of the blood of Jesus. Satan and his demons are powerless against the blood of Jesus. Satan and his demons are powerless against the blood of Jesus. There is deliverance in the blood of Jesus. There is power in the blood to deliver from all sin, habits, addictions. The blood of Jesus can deliver from the power of Satan. There is healing power in the blood of Jesus. When Jesus was scourged before the crucifixion, his arteries broke open and he bled profusely, as we know. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5 says, "By his scourging we are healed." The blood of Jesus can heal everything from the common cold to to cancer and heart disease. It can heal, wash away conditions such as sorrow, depression, worry, fear. The blood of Jesus can heal all your hurts. The blood of Jesus can do anything. It can even raise the dead. The blood is powerful in the healing of all spiritual conditions also. It can deliver a person from any condition. There is unknown, wonder-working, mind-boggling, infinite power in the blood of Jesus. There is unknown, wonder-working, mind-boggling, infinite power in the blood of Jesus. The blood that Jesus willingly and freely shed for us. Why is the blood of Jesus so great, infinitely powerful, and phenomenal? Because the power of the Almighty God is in the blood of Jesus. The power of the Almighty God is in the blood of Jesus. We have DNA in our blood cells, right? We all know that. The DNA in Jesus' blood is God. The power of the Almighty God is in the blood of Jesus. The power in the blood knows no limit, no boundaries. No limit and no boundaries. Awesome, indescribable, undefined, unknown, exceedingly, abundantly, infinite power in the blood of Jesus. This morning, if you have any condition that needs the Lord's attention, physical or spiritual healing, sorrow, depression, release from a condition, financial burden, plead the blood of Jesus over your condition. Salvation, the solution to every problem, the answer to every need, victory over every condition is in the blood of Jesus. So I'll leave you with that. We're going to begin a most solemn part of the service now.